but in these last days in your Son, the incarnate Word. We pray that you will open the mouth of your servant to proclaim that Word in the power of the Spirit. And we pray that the same Spirit will open the hearts of its hearers, the hearers, Lord, that you have assembled here in this place to receive your Holy Gospel and write on their hearts your Holy Law, even as you have promised. All of this, gracious Father, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Well, our scripture text this evening could be just one verse from Matthew chapter 6, Matthew 6, verse 9, that encompasses that petition of the Lord's Prayer that we are considering. But I'm also going to read the entirety of Psalm 145. I read the first couple of verses, the first few verses in the call to worship. But we're going to read all of Psalm 145, and then I will read the Lord's Prayer from Matthew chapter 6. So first, Psalm 145. Brothers and sisters, this is God's holy word. A praise of David. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness, and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. And all flesh shall bless His holy name forever and ever. We're turning over to Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, thanks be to God for His Word. Perhaps there is a number of you in our congregation who have had the opportunity to meet somebody whom you really respect. Maybe they even have a certain amount of celebrity in our culture because of what they have done. It might even be the case that you have personally benefited very greatly from their work, either directly or indirectly. When you have the opportunity to meet them, you treat them with some honor, with some dignity and respect. And this is something that you just don't give to anybody. Oftentimes, people we respect and we honor, they can be in positions of leadership, and we address them accordingly. So how we address our government officials, we reference their titles, Mr. President, Madam Senator, secretary, whoever. Even in the church we do that. Pastor Stromberg, Elder Hoekstra. We show respect and honor according to the office that God has placed them in. However, even as we do this in the culture, and unfortunately sometimes perhaps even in the church when we do this, we give the address, but we don't really mean it. Every few years, a little less than half of our country, a little less than half of our communities are very disappointed with the person who now they have to call governor, senator, representative, whoever it is. We could, of course, say something respectful with our mouth, with our lips, but not with our hearts. Our hearts don't like it at all. It happens all the time in the culture and even in the church. But this is also a problem that's addressed in Scripture. This is also addressed concerning how we address the Lord our God, Isaiah 29. And the Lord said, "This people draw near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me." Saying the right words, making it look good, but the heart is completely far from the Lord. So how do we honor the Lord? How do we honor and respect His name? Well, that's what we're going to consider tonight as we come to this first petition of the Lord's Prayer. A few weeks ago, we thought about this, the introduction to the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who is in heaven." And tonight, we'll dig into this, "Hallowed be Thy name," the first petition, this first request that we have. And we're going to do that in 3 points. In the first point, we're going to just define some terms. We're going to think about what does it mean to hallow something? What is it even to say that we call the name of the Lord? Then we'll also talk about knowing God and praising God. Praising God for His works and with our lives. But brothers and sisters, may we bless the name of our God forever and ever. And may we extol Him for who He is and what He has done. So first, let's think about some of these terms. The first petition of the Lord's Prayer, again, that first request that we ask of the Lord, is, "Hallowed be Thy name." And we have to ask, what does it mean to hallow somebody's name? What does that word mean? Well, the Greek word is simply used elsewhere for to make holy or to consecrate something. And children, one way we can think about this is we set it apart. We set it apart for special use. Maybe your mom or your grandma has some special plates, some special china that only comes out of the cabinet a few times a year. It's special. In that way, it's kind of hallowed. Oftentimes, we speak of military battlefields as hallowed ground. It's special because of what happened there. Soldiers died protecting their country. Abraham Lincoln famously said the following in his Gettysburg Address: "We are met on a great battlefield of that war," obviously the Civil War. "We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground." He uses the word hallow. But he continues to say that we can't hallow this ground any more than it already is. For all the soldiers that died on that battleground, it's hallowed. It's consecrated. It needs to be set apart. Blood was spilt. And we remember that. But when we pray that the name of the Lord is to be hallowed, when we pray that request, "Lord, hallow Your name," we're not recognizing something that we do to make God's name holy. It's not something that man has done in himself and his relationship to God has somehow made it holy. No, God is holy. God is holy in and of Himself. In His very nature, in His very being, He is holy. It's not that we recognize Him as holy and then we hallow His name. No, He is holy. We recognize that. And we'll see that in the rest of this petition. We pray that God's name will be hallowed, will be lifted up, will be holy, will be revered despite us, despite our failures. When we think of God's holiness, it's important that we recognize it has always been God has always been holy. He always will remain holy. He can never lose that. God can never get to a point where He is now unholy. It's impossible. God would cease to be God if that happened. After a while, Grandma's fine china, maybe years after her death, begins to break or just kind of passe. Maybe start using it on an everyday basis. Think about a celebrity or someone you highly revere. For a while they are hallowed, they're set up on a pedestal in your eyes. But then something happens, they commit some indiscretion, the facade just comes crashing down. Everything that you thought is nothing. Their name means nothing. In fact, sometimes it's now ridiculed. But that will never happen with the holiness of the Lord. That will never happen. His name will never fall out of repute. God's name is important because it really is who He is. Yeah, it serves as identification, but it's so much more. Think about Moses at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. And Moses essentially asked God's name in case the Israelites asked who sent me, how am I to respond? How does God respond? Well, God says to Moses, I am who I am. And He said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Now that's the name of Yahweh. We see that in the Old Testament. Yahweh, whenever we see those capital L-O-R-D, Lord, it's a covenant name of God. It's this Yahweh. That's who He is. Now my name is Mark. But I don't embody something called Markness just because of my name. Just knowing my name really doesn't tell you a whole lot about who I am. If you use the title, Reverend Mark Vanderpool, that gives you a little more idea. But just the name doesn't. But that's not the case with God. He does fulfill, He does perfectly manifest all the names that are ascribed to Him. God's attributes in many ways are His name. He is the Almighty One. He is the Father. He is the Good Shepherd. And many more names that we can give to God. And it's this name of the Lord, in fact, all of His names that we're forbidden in the third commandment to take them in vain. To use the name of God in an improper manner is to blaspheme His name. That came with a very severe penalty, didn't it? It came with the penalty of death. The Lord will not hold him guiltless who misuses His name. So again, the name is who God is. And you may know this already, but the Jews were very careful about using the name of Yahweh. If it came up in the biblical text, they wouldn't even say the name Yahweh. They would just replace it with another name of God, Adonai, which just means Lord. Still a true name of the Lord, but they just wouldn't say Yahweh. They didn't want to use it in a wrong way. They so revered God's holy name. Now, brothers and sisters, it's obvious in our day and age that the name of the Lord is not hallowed like that. It's not revered like that. In many ways, it's exactly the opposite. It's ridicule. The Catechism is speaking of the third commandment. It says that we are not to be a silent bystander when the horrible sin of misusing God's name is done before us. God's name is being ridiculed, not being hallowed. We aren't to be silent bystanders. I pray that you aren't silent. Co-workers, neighbors, whoever it is, they're not hallowing the name of God. The name of God is who He is. His name is set apart. It's holy. So what are we asking for when we pray this petition of the Lord's Prayer? God's name is holy. We can't take that away. It is holy. It is who He is. We're praying, Lord, hallowed be Thy name. What do we mean by that? Well, that brings us to our second point. This knowing God. In many ways, this may seem as almost just an unusual point. Maybe almost inappropriate. Doesn't really seem to fit with what we normally think of in this petition. Knowing the Lord. It doesn't really take long as we dig into this to see a firm connection. Remember what God's name is. It is who He is. His attributes are part of who He is. They are His name. So we start learning more about God and knowing Him, we know more about His name, who He is. And the Catechism is very helpfully right in the beginning when it states, "Hallowed by Thy name" means, help us to truly know You. Help us to truly know You. What a fascinating place to start as we think about this petition. Especially as we think about it in today's world. Help us to know You. Help us to truly know You. Quite often, all the time, we hallow, we revere people because of what they've done, maybe in sports or entertainment. In many ways, they haven't done anything really significant, but we lift them up. We hallow their name in that way. But do we really know them? Maybe we've seen them do something for a brief second on the internet, and now they're famous. Now they're influencing people all across the globe in a certain way. But all too often, the more you know somebody, the more they're brought down to earth. And they lose their specialness. Sometimes you might even, as your heart is drawn to somebody, say, I don't want to know anymore. It's just going to ruin it. It happens all the time. We don't want our opinion to change. But again, brothers and sisters, not so with God. Not so with God. We can never go and dig up some dirt on Him. He doesn't have secret skeletons in His closet that come out when you start running for public office. Nothing is hidden about God. Our opinion will never be made any less because we know more. The more we know about God, the more we truly know about God, the more we love Him, the more we hallow His name. But this petition also reminds us that we have an aversion to knowing God. Naturally, we don't want to truly know more about Him. We see His creation all around us. What does Paul say in Romans 1? We suppress the truth and unrighteousness. We don't want to know anymore. We exchange the truth of God for the lie. That's why it's fitting that Jesus, when He gives us this model prayer, He tells us to begin with, "Hallowed be Thy name." Help us to know You more. Create in our hearts a hallowing of Your name. Because we can't do that on our own. We need God to make our hearts desire God more, to know Him more. We pray that the Lord will open our eyes, of course, to see His beautiful creation, see His majesty and His glory on display. We praise the Lord for that. We also pray that our hearts will be open, that our minds will be illumined to the truth of God's Word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We truly know God more through that. And even this morning, as we heard, when we're born again, what happens to our hearts? They're changed. Our affections, our desires, they're not going the way they used to. They're going towards the Lord. We have a desire to know more about our triune God. We love His Word, His works, what He has done for us. That's exactly the language that we hear throughout Psalm 145. Listen again to verse 5. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of Your majesty and on Your wondrous works. David, the psalmist, is meditating. He's thinking. He wants to know more truly about God. His glorious splendor, His majesty, His wondrous works. If somebody were to tell you, yeah, I love the Lord, but you start to ask them just simple questions that they don't really know anything about the Lord, you're going to doubt that they truly love Him. Not good. We need to have at least some basic understanding of who He is, what He has done for us in Christ. As we mature in our relationship, we continue more and more, maybe into baby steps, more and more knowing truly about our God. And we desire that. We want that more and more. There are a number of newlyweds in our church, some that have only been married just for a few months, or even a couple of years. But now, they didn't stop learning about their spouse as soon as the minister said, "I pronounce you husband and wife. That's all you're ever going to know about your spouse." No, of course not. After you become married, you learn a lot more about your spouse. And you continue to know more and more. It's one of the privileges of being married. You truly know your spouse every single day. When we pray to the Lord, "Hallowed be thy name," that's what we're asking the Lord to do to us in our relationship to Him. Help us know you more and more. More and more. We have a desire to know more and more. Now, granted, of course, everybody has different abilities and gifts in this area. You don't need a seminary education to know about the Lord. We have His Word. We have His revealed Word. Let me just give you a little secret as well. Seminary just gives you the foundation. It just gives you the foundation, but even pastors learn about the Lord more and more every single day from His Word. So can you. I've heard it said before that the drama of the Bible, the story that's contained in there. Out of that comes the doctrines of the Lord that we love and we cherish. That leads us to doxology. It leads us to praise the Lord. And that brings us to our final point this evening. When we pray, "Hallowed be thy name," we're giving expression of praise to the Lord. In many ways, it simply goes without saying. God deserves our praise. He deserves our praise for who He is, what He has done. His works of creation. His works of our redemption. No other being has done that. No other being has done that. It's unmatched. So we sing, we praise the name of the Lord. It's who He is. Listen again to how David begins Psalm 145. "I will extol you," just means I will praise you, "my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever." What a wonderful way to start that psalm. Praising the Lord, extolling Him day by day, blessing Him. Why? Because of His name. Because of who He is. Listen also how David ends that psalm. "My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless His holy name forever and ever." All flesh praising, singing the name of the Lord. What a wonderful gift. And so much of Psalm 145 fits with this first petition of the Lord's Prayer. Praising the name of the Lord. Hallowing, revering, extolling His name. Many of the other parts of the Psalm 145 talk about the fourth petition. "Give us this day our daily bread." That's a different sermon. But "hallowed be thy name." We find that in the Psalm. All throughout the Psalter. Praising the name of the Lord. And our catechism helpfully expands what we're praying for. We praise Him because of His works. We also praise Him with our lives. So first, we praise the Lord for His works. Listen again to the words of our catechism. We pray, "Help us to honor, glorify, and praise You for all Your works and for all that shines forth from them, Your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth." Again, this is simply a display of who God is. This is who He is. There's no one else that deserves our praise, our honor, and our glory as the Lord does. Of course, we give some praise, we give some glory to men and women. And there are many that do deserve some measure of honor and praise for the things that they've done. But it's very limited. It's only to a certain extent because they're sinful creatures. They're sinful just like we are. But there's no earthly leader, no politician, nobody that deserves what is ultimately due to God alone. Nobody. Of course, our world will continue to try to lift people up. Lift them up so we can see them. And then you lift them up even as our Savior, even as the Lord that we need to bow down to. We need to serve and worship them. The world's going to do that all the time, but they're all counterfeits. They're all counterfeits. They're stealing what belongs to God alone. Only the Lord God's works display an almighty power, true wisdom, faultless kindness, impartial justice, complete mercy, perfect truth. Only the name of our Lord fulfills that. We see all these attributes in the supreme work of a triune God in our redemption through Jesus Christ. They're all on display. Praise the Lord for His works, most especially in our redemption. And the psalmist declares that one generation will declare the works of the Lord to another. You know what? That's what we're doing here tonight. We have a few generations represented. All the generations are hearing, telling the next one what the Lord has done. And I hope you do that in your homes too. Parents teaching your children. One generation telling the next the wonderful works of the Lord. If we do not hallow the name of the Lord God because of His wondrous works, if we don't do that, then we're actually giving the glory to the world. The world's going to step in. The world's going to take the glory away from the Lord. And the world's just going to take. It's just going to take and take and take until there's nothing left. And the world wants the placard God is just some bygone hope. It's from a previous age. We're enlightened now. You don't need a so-called God. That's what the world wants. To denigrate the name of God. Put Him off as something from a bygone era. It's not hallowing God's name. We're praying that wouldn't happen in our homes. We're praying that it doesn't happen in our churches. But we also pray that our very lives would praise the Lord in all that we say and do. I don't think we consider this enough when we pray the Lord's Prayer. When we pray, Lord, hallowed be Thy name, we're asking the Lord, direct all of our living, what we think, say, and do, towards the end, praising You, glorifying You, hallowing Your name. I failed in that. You have too. Listen to Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. 1 Peter 2:12. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Two places in Scripture speak of our actions, our good deeds, our good works, glorifying the Lord before the world. Glorifying the Lord, hallowing His name by what we do. And the world is watching. And when the world looks at the church, do they have reason to honor and praise the Lord? Do they glorify the Lord because of the love, the fervent love we have for one another, as we heard this morning? It's part of what we're praying for. Every time we hear the Lord's Prayer, we pray the Lord's Prayer. The last line of the Catechism has always struck me. So that your name, that is God's name obviously, will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised by what we think, say, and do. Now, in some way, we can probably never blaspheme the Lord God's name with our mouths. But there's a whole lot more to that, isn't there? Our actions. How we talk to others. Even how we think. Even how we think. We're asking the Lord, hallowed be Thy name. And how we think about Him. Now, most of you, I'm sure, have a certain affinity to your family name. We don't like it when somebody speaks against our name. And the same is true of our spiritual family and our Father in Heaven. May we never do anything against that family. May we protect the name of our spiritual family, the church. It's part of what hallowing the name of the Lord God means. Well, the brothers and sisters, the world holds a lot of things sacred. For many generations, the name and the works of the Lord, they were in some way hallowed by the world at large, generally speaking. Yet still Christ gave us this command to pray in any age, "Hallowed be thy name." Because the world can't do that. The world can't do that. It's only God's children. It's only those for whom He is their Father in heaven who can truly honor His name. He's still the covenant Lord. He's still Yahweh. His works are still on display. We have an empty tomb showing that. May you, brothers and sisters, continue to pray that God's name will be hallowed through you. By what you say, by what you do, and even by what you think. All of your lives. And may we pray with David as he begins Psalm 145. "We extol you, our God, O King. We will bless your name forever and ever. Every day we will bless you and we'll praise your name forever and ever." May we, brothers and sisters, hallow the name of our God. Amen. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you, we do so knowing, Lord, that we are calling out to your name. And Lord, may that be hallowed, Lord, even as we pray. But Lord, may it also be hallowed in how we think about you as we truly come to know you. May you give us that desire to know more and more about you. Lord, may we hallow your name in our actions as we're praising you. Even, Lord, how we speak, how we act, and even how we think. And Lord, we thank you that we have such wonderful words throughout your Bible, Lord, and throughout the Psalms especially, praising your name. For Lord, your name truly is holy. And Lord, may we lift it up as such. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.